have to bear with me. I haven't shared my testimony in absolute full. I'm not going to go into it. It's a big testimony. There's people in the room that know my testimony. There's people that know bits and pieces. But I'm standing here today to be able to testify of God's goodness. And he brought me through a very big storm. Very big storm. And I pledged to him that, you know, once I walked through that, I would, for the rest of my days, tell people of his goodness. Because for me to be standing here is a miracle. And for my family to have come through that storm, it's a miracle. So if I get emotional, just smile at me, okay? Because it's a big testimony. And yes, so I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. So I'm a mum of three. My three children are sitting back. Oh, they're actually at the table drawing very quietly, which is nice. And we love Broome. My husband's sitting over there. We moved up to Broome in 2011 with a 16-month-old and a three-week-old. Knew nobody, but knew we would get connected in church. We got connected here, and there was lots of beautiful mummies that I got to know, and soon enough I had lots of friends in town. We stayed for about 2.5 years. My husband was brought up here to open up the Bunnings, so you can thank him. I know all the men in the house would love Bunnings, and the women. I like Bunnings too. In fact, I can't go without buying a plant. But yeah, so we went back after 2.5 years. We built a house in Ellenbrook in Perth, and moved in, fell pregnant with our third child, Joel. And I just couldn't settle. I waited a little while to talk to my husband about moving back to Broome because I knew he'd be like, yeah, let's go. Woohoo, boating, camping, fishing. And I was pregnant and I was like, is this hormones or, but I knew that we needed to come back. So I said, you know, I feel like we should go back. I miss Broome. It's so laid back to raise children. It's just wonderful. And so then we came back up at the end of 2015, just before, or just about the same time as Pete and Rosemary were sent to pastor our and shepherd our church. And we were so blessed to be back. We're just so in love with this town and the people and the community. And we know that we're meant to be here. This is where God wants our family to be. In February 2018, we planned a trip. My sister was due to have her first baby in Perth. And so I said to my husband, I have to go. Like, we have to go. So we planned to drive. So we had our car there. We wanted to be there a couple of weeks. And a few weeks before that, I had been to my local doctor and just had some changes in my body, and she found a lump, and they don't do any more further tests here in Broome. I had to be referred to a specialist, and Royal Perth Hospital picked that up and booked an appointment for me, and it kind of timed in. We moved around our dates to drive to Perth just a little bit sooner. And so we set off, I think, on the Tuesday, and we got there on the Thursday, dumped the kids with mum and dad, and went along to my specialist appointment at Royal Perth on the Friday. At that stage, I was 32, turning 33, three very young children, and I went into the clinic there, which is a one-stop shop. They did all sorts of tests. I had a mammogram. I had an ultrasound. I saw a specialist doctor. I then had a biopsy, which took an hour and a half. And I just was laying on that table and I was like, an hour and a half, that's a long time. I just burst into tears. I was like, they've found something. No one spends that long on the table if you're okay. And so I came out of that room in tears. Brendan, my husband, was with me and he was consoling me. And the doctor, the specialist that I'd just seen before all those tests said, oh, I just need to, you know, come into this room. I just want to have a chat with you. And she gave me a hug because I was crying. And I know what malignant and benign means, but I was in a state of emotion and shock, just with everything that I'd already experienced. And she said, look, I'm really sorry to tell you, but it's malignant. And I went, what does that mean? Because I was just like, but I knew. But in that moment, it was like, pardon? You've got to be kidding. And she said, I'm sorry to tell you, but you've got breast cancer. And so we just, I just burst into tears. I was like, you know, you hear stories, you know, cancer's not very good. And she said, look, we haven't been able to identify what kind of breast cancer it is. You're going to have to come back on Tuesday for the rest of the tests. But the reason we took so long to take the biopsy was we wanted to check your cells. We wanted to give you an idea of what we're dealing with before the weekend because we'd already waited 5 weeks for a specialist appointment. So we trained in from my parents' house. We got back on, we got a taxi and just sat, my husband and I, in the taxi all the way home. Didn't know what we were dealing with to the full extent, so we didn't tell our children straight away. We needed to just process that ourselves. I told my parents. And from there, we journeyed. We started to just stand to face the storm that had been thrown at us. What had happened was they'd said it's quite aggressive, so you don't have like a month to just go back up to Broome, pack up your things, and then come back and start medication. We need to get this underway now. Oh my goodness, so many hospital visits and tests leading up to even starting any kind of treatment. I had to see an oncologist, I had to see a radiologist, I had to see somebody that was going to give me radiotherapy and get me sorted. But I also had to have a test, my full body, bones and everything, to make sure that the cancer hadn't spread. So that's pretty huge. And again, back into the hospital. This was all at Royal Perth. They were amazing. I was in the public system and they were absolutely amazing. I couldn't fault them. They took care of me. And that came back that it had only spread to my lymph nodes just under my arm, so that some of those would need to be removed when I went in to have a mastectomy. So 32, three kids, cancer diagnosis. You're going to start chemotherapy. Then you're going to have to have radiotherapy. Like radiation, and then we're going to do a mastectomy, and then we're going to do a reconstruction. And, you know, you're going to lose your hair after your first round of chemotherapy. I didn't know that. I was like, I just thought because you have chemotherapy, you know, eventually your hair falls out. And the nurse said, look, I just need to tell you, you know, obviously you're female and you want to know this, but your hair's going to fall out after your first round of chemo. And I'm like, okay. So then there was that. It's huge. So being diagnosed with breast cancer, that's huge. Relocating in the space of a week, my husband was work, flew him back up from Perth when he told them. We had some wonderful friends help us pack up our house, help him pack up his house, flew him back down in time for me to start my first treatment. But we had a house here. We had to find a house in Perth. The kids were at school, so we had to find a house in Perth before we could decide what school they were going to go to because it's zoned. That's a lot to deal with. It's huge. But I'm here and I can tell that, you know, the testimony of God's goodness. But what prevailed from there was six rounds of chemotherapy. So every 3 weeks I would go into Royal Perth Hospital for about 4 or 5 hours and have it administered to me in a drip. There was one time it was given to me that I stopped breathing momentarily and Brendan had to get the nurses and I went red and I had tightness. And they then gave me something that put me to sleep and then I woke up and it was done. Apparently I snored, but that's okay. So six rounds of chemotherapy every 3 weeks. And the reason there's a three-week gap is because they give you enough dosage to kill the cancer, but not kill you, for your body to cope with. I was told age was going to be on my side, 32 turning 33. I now know of a lot of women that are actually younger than that that have been diagnosed. But there's not a huge awareness when you're that age. I didn't expect the diagnosis. So six rounds of chemotherapy, 25 rounds of radiation. So I went in every day to a facility where they would do radiation on the area that had had cancer cells. And that was for 15 minutes, 5 days a week for 5 weeks. Exhausting. After that, I had to heal. My skin had to heal, so that was quite intense. And it gets worse before it gets better. I then had to, get prepared to have a mastectomy. That's a huge thing when you're only 32. We had to talk about whether I wanted to have any more children, freeze any more eggs. We were done, thankfully. We've had three beautiful, healthy children and we decided to focus our energy and our time on them. So we didn't go down that path. I just thought, you know, if I'm going to get through this, I'm going to get through it and I'm going to be there to raise my three children and live my life with my husband. So that's a big thing for someone to have happen in their life. But I know that I'm standing here today only because I had faith and trust in God that he would get us through it. Did I have moments where I was a little bit scared? Absolutely. People die from cancer. But not once did I think that I was going to die because I got myself grounded in the Word. He says, God says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you. I dwelt on that. I had to ring Peter and say, hey, I'm not coming back to the worship team. And in fact, I'm not coming back to Broome. Good luck. Good luck. Pastor Peter sent through, and it's something that my whole family, including my parents and my sister, clung to throughout the whole time, because this was about 18 months to 2 years of, you know, going backwards and forwards to the hospital and having all this treatment. Because once I'd finished the IV chemotherapy, I then had to have 11 needles in my leg to continue the therapy. So that was huge. So it was a long period of time. But Pastor Peter sent through this word that just said, I just really feel that God wants you to know that he's going to carry you safely through the storm. And I was like, it's a pretty big storm. Like, I believe it, but did I really believe it? Could I really stand on that and know that we would come safely through? Most days, yes. I had some dark days. I had some days where life was really tough, and I felt like, why me? Why did this happen to me? I got angry at God. Like, why? Why would you? I've got a few things I want to talk to God about when I get to heaven. Childbirth. Teething with children. And this. There's a few other things, but I won't go there. But Peter said, you know, I just believe he's going to bring you safely through the storm. And then my mum, once I actually came through the really difficult parts of that storm, because it's something that we're still dealing with today. I still have to have a jab every month and take a tablet every day to reduce the risk of any cancer coming back. And that's for 5 years. I'm still on a wait list for the final surgery so they can tidy things up. But safely through the storm. And then my mum said, when we said we were coming back to Broome, I didn't want to tell her because it was like the third time, and I had another grandchild, and she was just, you know, she misses them. But I'm like, I just really feel to go back. And that was after my husband had said, you know, once I'd got through everything, he was like, so, are we going to move back to Broome? I literally was like, nope. And he said, why not? And I'm like, because I said I wouldn't. And he's like, okay. And then God started dealing with me, dealing with my heart. We started talking about it, and I was like, okay, I can actually do this. I can fathom it, I believe. And the way that God made a way for us to move back to Broome was not a coincidence. I do not believe in coincidence. I believe that he orchestrated the way for us to come back easily, and here we are. But my mum's most recent prophecy, for those of you that might not be familiar with that, she saw a picture of God bringing me to a place of beauty, a place of peace, and a place of rest. And I'm currently seeing that come into fruition. Like, it's a pretty beautiful place to live. I'm rested. I've had my surgery. The cancer's gone. The chemotherapy worked. But I had to stick really close to God through that time because it was a very, very big journey. And, you know, I was trying to still raise children. My husband was still going to work to keep things afloat. I had a job here in Broome, and I obviously couldn't take it with me. But I wanted to share this morning four things I learned whilst waiting for my breakthrough. And there were many more than four things, but these are the four things I believe God wanted me to bring this morning. So if you're waiting for a breakthrough, that doesn't have to be a breakthrough of cancer and an illness. That might just be a breakthrough because sometimes you have anxiety. That might be a breakthrough because you're not talking with a family member because of a past hurt, because that can be broken through with God. He can do all things. It might just be a breakthrough to sleep better. But if you're waiting for some kind of breakthrough, I just want to share with you what helped me, if that's okay. So number one, prayer. So it's like medicine. It was like medicine to me. I had to pray. I had to pray every day for a clear mind, for God to bring me safely through the storm. So I didn't just go, oh, that's a nice word, thanks, Peter. No, we declared that out and we prayed that he would bring us safely through the storm. So if you're praying for something or a situation to change, something to be broken, maybe pray some more. Oops, did I say that out loud? I'm not saying what you're doing isn't good enough, but sometimes you have to really get to that place with God where you've actually let go of everything. Because sometimes we hold on to things and we think we've let go. And we're praying, oh, yeah, I'm praying about it. But are you really believing that that's actually going to happen? Are you actually declaring that that's what's going to happen? Because you have to get to a place. We had no control over our situation. No control. The doctors would tell us, this is what's happening next. You're going to lose your hair. I lost my hair. We ended up shaving my head just before it all fell out because it was starting to come out. And I was like, I can say this with confidence because, hey, I had a pretty tough time. I have a really nice shaped head. But you don't know that you're going to have a really nice shaped head until you shave your head and it's bald and it's out there for everyone to see and it's round and there's no funny bits on it and I survived it. So, sorry, my sense of humour. I'm sorry I didn't get my PowerPoint sorted to be able to put Bible verses on the screen, but I wanted to take you to Romans 12:12. If you've got your Bibles, you want to turn there. Constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, so that's continually seeking wisdom, guidance and strength. You know, you've got to ground yourself in prayer if you're going to battle something like breast cancer. I asked other people to pray for me. I asked people to stand with me. I didn't speak out that I had breast cancer to lots of people. I didn't want everyone to know. I didn't want someone to go, oh, my nan had that and she died. I didn't, like, no thanks. My Coles man asked me why I was wearing a beanie when he delivered some shopping to us once. And I said, can I ask you, are you unwell? He said, yeah, look, I've got breast cancer. I'm currently having treatment. Oh, my mum died from that. He was lovely. He'd been coming quite a bit. And I just looked at him and I said to him, do you think I really want to know that? Oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, but I had to keep going back. You've got to quiet what the world's saying. You've got to go back to pray and speak Bible verses over yourself like medicine because it's huge. But it's also about spending time to listen to God. So you can pray to God, but you also need to spend some time and remain in Him. Remain quiet. I find that really hard. People that know me would laugh about that because I don't stop talking. But I had to listen and have people pray over me and have people speak into my life positives because sometimes I didn't feel strong enough. Even though I knew I was and I was building myself up, I still needed the affirmations of people around me. People that were grounded in the Word though. People that knew God and knew what needed to be spoken over my life. Psalm 46, this is another... just going to read it to you. You don't necessarily need to read the whole thing, but if you write it down to go back to later, it may be helpful. Psalm 46, verses 1 to 5. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken and slip into the hearts of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its roaring, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of His city, and she will not be moved. God will help when the morning dawns. He's our refuge, our safe place. But boy, did I have to go there and pray about that because I didn't feel very safe. Didn't think I was going to die. I never went there. But I did have to daily pray and say, God, help me get through this. Help my husband, who is also trying to hold it together whilst we're trying to raise our family. Help my children not to be too affected. Please, God, help me. So if you need to break through something, you're going to need to pray and you're going to need to speak Bible verses of prayer over yourself to be able to get through that breakthrough. The second thing that helped me was knowing God's word. But I mean like knowing God's word. We all know about the Bible and there's some nice verses in there that maybe that's all we read. Maybe we don't want to know the stuff that might be a little bit too confronting. But you need to know God's word. It released fear. And it helped me to let go of control. I'm a bit of a control freak. So the fact that things seemed to just spin and I couldn't have control, I really needed to let go and let God because I needed to surrender to Him and know His word, know what He's saying to me. Because the world out there says a lot of stuff. People out there say a lot of stuff. But where are you getting your information from? I'm not saying don't read the news, don't listen to the news. The Bible will get you through everything. The news will not. The news breeds fear. The news is not good. We don't listen to lots of the news. Yes, we've been listening to our government, who I believe have been put in place for such a time as this, but we're not listening to all the news articles. We're not reading everything online. But I'm reading my Bible because I wanted to know what God says, because he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. So I ain't going to go and ask the guy that thinks he knows everything. He hasn't created the heavens and the earth. God has. So what does he say? So I just want to take you to Exodus 14. It's nice to hear some pages rustling. We're not all using phones. I still like the hard copy. So, know God's word. So Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you while you need. Keep silent and remain calm. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the sons of Israel to move forward towards the sea. As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, so that the sons of Israel may go through the middle of the sea on dry land. As for me, hear this. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will go in the sea after them. And I will be glorified and honored through Pharaoh and all his army and his war chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know and acknowledge that I am the Lord, when I am glorified and honored through Pharaoh, through his war chariots and his charioteers. The angel of God, who had been going in front of the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. The pillar of the cloud moved from in front and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud along with darkness, even by day to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the Israelites, so one army did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all that night and turned the seabed into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the middle of the sea on dry land, and the waters formed a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Then the Egyptians pursued them into the middle of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his war chariots and his charioteers. So it happened at the early morning watch before dawn that the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and put them in a state of confusion. He made their chariot wheels hard to turn and the chariots difficult to drive. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians on their war chariots and their charioteers. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to its normal flow at sunrise. And the Egyptians retreated right into being met by the returning water. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians and tossed them in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the charioteers and all of the army of Pharaoh that had gone into the sea. The Israelites walked on dry land in the middle of the sea, and the waters formed a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians on the seashore. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord has used against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord with reverence and awe-filled respect, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Now, do you think Moses maybe thought Jesus is a little bit, you know, loopy? What do you mean we're going to walk through the sea? You're going to part the sea? But it's written, that's what happened. The Lord fought for those that loved him, that wanted to follow him. So I had to know my word. That's been an encouraging verse, because it looked impossible. It is not impossible for God. All things are possible through God. All things. Whatever mountain that you think is in front of you right now, tell it about your God. Don't talk about your mountain. Talk about your God, because your God created the mountains. So I had to speak that out as well. Do it again, God. I've seen you move the mountains and I can see you do it again. But it had to be spoken out. But you can't speak out the word of God if you don't know the word of God. So you've got to get yourself grounded in the word of God as a foundation, because sometimes you're going to go through a storm and you're going to want to call upon that word and speak it out, but you can't speak it out if you don't know it. And when I say know it, it's like we all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But some of these verses, you know, they spoke to me in my season of waiting for breakthrough. And so I want to encourage you, pray, know God's word. Know whose you are. Galatians 3, verse 26. For you, who are born again, have been reborn from above, spiritually transformed and renewed and sanctified. So that's when you give your life to Christ. When you say, God, I want you to live in me. I want to have a relationship with you. That's who you become. You're God's. So for you, that's us, are all children of God, set apart for his purpose with full rights and privileges through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, so in spiritual union with him, have clothed yourselves with Christ. You have taken on his characteristics and values. Sorry, it keeps blowing. So there is now no distinction in regard to salvation. So that salvation is asking God to just be your Father, asking him into your heart to have a relationship with him. Neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you who believe are all one in Christ. No one can claim a spiritual superiority. And if you belong to Christ, so if you are in him, then you are Abraham's descendants and spiritual heirs according to God's promise. So you have to know whose you are if you're going to fight a battle. You have to know whose side you're on, that's for sure. And let me tell you, you want to be on God's side, not the enemy's side. And yeah, there is an enemy, the fallen angel, who wants to do, he wants to come and rob and destroy. He launched an attack at me and my family. And let me tell you, I am still stomping on his ground. I am still rebuking what he has tried to do. He's still trying to fire arrows at us, but God stops them. But I had to pray. I had to know God's word. I had to know who I am in him to be able to stop the fear, any anxiety, any worry coming in. So, yeah, number three, speak God's word. Speak it as though it is, even if it isn't. You know that saying, fake it till you make it? If you're believing for something and it hasn't come into fruition, so it hasn't happened yet, speak it like it has. God encourages us to do that. That builds our faith. That builds our hope. Hope for a future. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Speak it out. Speak out what you want to see come to pass. Ask God to perform miracles. It is a weapon against what the enemy wants to do. So I'm going to ask you, what are you believing for right now? Ask yourself that. We're all believing for something. There's people in here that are fighting a battle that we might not even know anything about. God knows. God knows. But you've got to go to him and you've got to pray. You've got to go to him and read his word. What does he say in here? Whose are you? We are children of God. We have an heir to, we have an inheritance to heaven, to have eternal life. All he wants is our hearts and a relationship with him. So there's power in the name of Jesus to break chains. If you've been here and we've sung that song and I've got very passionate and very loud, it's because I want to declare it out. There's power in the name of Jesus to break the chains. What chains are you carrying around that are heavy that need to be broken? What are they? Let's ask God to break the shackles. Let's ask God to break the chains. If you think you've got a generational curse, he can break the chains. If you've got anxiety, he can break the chains. If you're worried, he can break the chains. If you're sick, he can break the chains. But we have to know, we have to declare it out, and we have to know whose we are. We have to pray to him. We have to know the word, and we have to be able to speak it out as though it is. I had to speak out that I was healed before the cancer was removed. I had to believe that. I went in there every time I had chemotherapy, and I was positive. I was happy. I was okay. You can ask my husband. I was pretty positive. I was, you know, there's people in there, and it's like some of them look like death. I had to go in there knowing whose I was, and you know what? I had to bite the bit and go, okay, God, I've asked you, why me? And you know what? I heard him say to me once, because I know that you're going to use this story and this testimony to bring God into people's lives, to help people overcome situations that they don't think they can overcome. So I had to go into the chemo ward every 3 weeks like nothing was happening. Yes, thank you, God. Yes, I am healed. I had to declare it. I am healed. I had prayer every time I went to church. Was it easy every time I went to church? No. was I angry sometimes in the worship, and I was like stomping my feet and I didn't want to worship or sing or raise my hands because I've got cancer. God said to me, this isn't about you. Excuse me? Feels like it's about me. It really feels like it's about me. I didn't feel very well after chemotherapy. I think, so it was 21 days in between each round. By about day 14, I started to come good. So I had a week where I felt like I could maybe cook a meal, look after my children properly. I had to stick close to God. I had to speak about my healing before it came. I had to know whose I was and what He's called me to. What's He called you to? Sometimes the area that you're struggling in is where your greatest calling is on your life. And it takes a full surrender to be able to say, God, use me. I'm going to give this over to you at your altar. And you've got to let go for Him to actually be able to use you. I had to learn that because I wanted to take back control. I don't like not being in control. But let me tell you the beauty that comes when you actually say, okay, God, I'm putting it down. I'm letting it go. Yes. All He wants from us is a yes. He actually doesn't want anything else from you. We all think we have to do the rest. Nope. He just wants the yes. And number four, praise and worship even before your breakthrough. So like I just said, I sometimes did not feel like doing that. That was not easy. Sometimes I'd go to church and I'd just cry. Sometimes I felt like a failure because I couldn't get up and attend to my children the way I'd known to be able to do that. I couldn't contribute to the finances in the family. I couldn't make it better for anybody else. But I still praised and I still worshipped. I broke through that grief. You know, I went through anger, disappointment, sadness. Why was I going through this? Why me? Why my family? But it's a decision. It's not a feeling to praise Him through all circumstances, not just the good ones, but the bad ones too. Because God is for you. He sent His Son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. He sent His Son so we would be free. Paul talked about it this morning in communion, you know, the sacrifice that was made for us. By His stripes, we are healed. His stripes were bloody. He was unrecognizable. And He did that we may be free, that we may walk in a freedom and a liberty, that we would be able to have confidence in the fact that He loves us, that we do not need to bow down to that mountain that's in front of us. He has given us the authority and the anointing and the favor. We are His children. We need to know whose we are. So I'm going to ask you again, what are you waiting for breakthrough for? What are you asking God for? Because we're all asking Him for something. But don't forget to remain in Him as well when you go to Him. Know His word, speak His word, pray, let Him talk to you. To God be the glory for that. I just want to finish with Isaiah 54:17, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. So I'm just going to go back to it and I'm going to read it to you. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will succeed, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you will condemn. This, being peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition, is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. No weapon. God didn't say there wouldn't be weapons formed. He said they wouldn't prosper. So if there's a weapon that's been formed against you, if you're dealing with something like that right now, it will not prosper. But you have to give it over to God. Give it to Him. He can take it on. He has the capacity. He created the universe. He created the world. No weapon that is formed is going to prosper. Boy, did we have to speak that over ourselves in our house through that journey. We had to speak that over one of my children that didn't want to sleep alone, worried about Mum. A little bit of anxiety, never seen it before. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Maybe you have to say it 10 times for yourself to believe it. That's okay. God won't mind. No weapon formed will prosper. We are already victorious because Jesus died on the cross for us. If you're under attack, be encouraged that you are most likely operating in the calling on your life from God. funny thing to say if you're under attack, but be encouraged that the enemy ain't going to bother you if you're not living for God. So if you're living for God, he doesn't want that. He wants to get in there. He wants to cause division. He's come to destroy. But we are already victorious in Jesus. So turn around and say, not today, devil. That's what I say. Not today, devil. You got to say it with authority. You can't sing, break every chain, break every chain. No, there's power in his name to break the chains, to bring down strongholds, to bring down idols, to bring down sickness. He wants to bring healing. There's power in his name. So we say, not today, devil. And you can stomp on the ground and say, I am victorious in God. Pray for that hedge of protection for you and your family. Some of you may not be familiar with this, but you can speak in a heavenly language that the enemy doesn't understand. That's a pretty good weapon. If you feel uncomfortable with that, you can ask your pastors about that. But definitely something we do in our house. If I pray in tongues over Joel at bedtime, he giggles, thinks that's great. He's my five-year-old. He's like, what are you doing, Mum? Praying in a language that the enemy cannot understand, because I will not have weapons formed against me. So if you're waiting for a breakthrough today and need some encouragement, pray. Read the word. Speak the word. Praise and worship anyway. That's a decision, not a feeling. If we act on feelings, ooh, that's what the world does, tells you to act on feelings. You know, that's what's in the media. Act on your feelings. Well, feelings are pretty fickle. You've got to make a decision. So make the decision today to pray more, read the word more so that you can have those weapons that you need. Speak it out like it's happened. Believe it, declare it, but really believe it, like in here, in your heart and your soul. And declare, not today, devil. Not today. I really feel like there's people in here that are fighting battles that we don't know anything about. And it's so important to know that God's got this. He goes before you and beside you and behind you and within you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to live a blessed life. He wants you to walk in favor. If you don't believe that this morning, come and have prayer, because we need to break that off. That's something that can be broken off. You know, you can have a clean mindset in God. So if you don't believe that you deserve his love, if you don't believe that he's fighting for you, come and have prayer, because he does. He wants to prosper us. He wants us to live in abundance. He doesn't want us to just survive. He set the captives free for a reason. And it's our journey now is to share him with those that don't know that, because the world is very broken. It doesn't need to be scary, because we can pray, we can read the word, we can speak the word, and we can praise and worship throughout to see that breakthrough come into fruition.